morning to our fathers. Happy Father's Day. It is good to see all the fathers out with us this morning. And for everybody else, it's not your day, so you just got to bear with us, all right? Amen. 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 And to those online as well, welcome, welcome. It is good to have you in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 13. As I said, happy Father's Day. And Pastor said it well this morning. Happy Father's Day. And we definitely need more fathers, less baby daddies out there. So fathers, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your commitment, not to just your kids, but to your wives as well. Because the first job of being a good father is being a good husband. Amen? Amen. Amen. So in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22, the scripture says this: a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous man. Amen. Let us pray real quick. Heavenly Father, once again, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this is a day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what we feel, no matter what we are going through, Father, all the burdens that we came in with, all the stress, all the pressure, all the things of life, Father, we lay down. We are here to simply sit at your feet and hear from you. Father, help me to speak your truth. Help me to speak your word, because your word says that in the last days that you are speaking through your son and only your son. So, Father, we ask that your son show up this morning and speak through me, Father. Once again, Lord, we simply humbly come and say, come and do what you have promised to do, which is be there in the midst of your people. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. Amen. Once again, Proverbs 13, verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous, or the righteous man. So as you guys know, Proverbs was written, I don't know, 3,000 years ago. And it's interesting because despite how the world wants to change genders and sex and all this stuff, truth is still truth. It is natural for a man to want to provide for his children. It is natural for a man to do what God has called him to do. But the question is, what exactly is a good man? What makes a man good? Now, many of us would say making bank, providing for your children, being kind, being 6 feet. You know, we all have these things in our head that we say, oh, that's what makes that man good. But Jesus in Mark 10, verse 18 says, why do you call me good? No one is good except one, that is God. So we use that word good very loosely. And we often say, well, this person is good, or that person is good, or all these things. But the scripture says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Now, something that we often miss is that word good in Proverbs 13, verse 22, that's the same word that God used in Genesis 1 and 2 when he made everything and said, it is good. So this good man must be a man that is not impacted by sin. This good man must be someone who has lived a life that is perfect, that is holy, that has not tasted sin. And it says here that he leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So although I will be mentioning fathers this morning, this message is not just for fathers. This message is for anybody who calls God their father. So to understand what Proverbs means by a good man, we must first look at who and what Jesus said about God the Father. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll read from verse 7. So Matthew 7, 7. So in Matthew 7, 7, Jesus is rounding up his Sermon on the Mount, and he then says this to the people that are sitting by him. And he says in verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, that's me and you, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven, that's God the Father, give good things to those who ask him? So Jesus is making it plain that even in man's fallen state, even as crazy, bad, evil as we can be, a father naturally wants to give good gifts to his children. That is something that is in man's nature. A good gift is shelter, a good home, clothes, all the things that we all would want to give as fathers and mothers. But then, Jesus also says this, that God the Father also provides as well. But he provides good things. So man provides good gifts. God the Father provides good things. So I want to look at that real quick, because sometimes we rush through the scripture and think that, well, yeah, I know what good things are. Good things are all the things that I want, right? See, we often think that, yeah, good things are those things that I'm praying to God about, and, you know, there's no sin in my life, so those are the good things. But this is not saying that. So if you look at the Greek of the word, good gifts is actually two words. Can you please show that graphic real quick? Good gifts is agata domata. So good gifts is two words, but good things is one word, just agata. So what Jesus is really saying here is, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts, two words, to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good to those who ask him? Not good things, just good. So what is good? Jesus is saying here that I am willing to give you good. You know how to give good gifts, good homes, nice cars, new phones, all those things that your kids might need. But he's saying here that how much more will your heavenly Father who is in heaven give good? So what is good? And this is why I love scripture, because scripture explains itself. Luke 11, verse 13. As you guys know, the Gospels, they all tell the same story, but just a little bit different vantage point. So in Luke writes this in verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And it's interesting, because while I was sitting over there, it just clicked in my head. It says, how much more will your heavenly Father give? And it dawned on me that because God is God is eternal, the things that he gives are eternal. So we give temporary gifts. He gives eternal things, or an eternal thing, which is himself, the Holy Spirit. So he gives us the Holy Spirit, because the greatest good is God himself. And that's the best gift that God the Father could give to us. So once again, if we take all that and read Proverbs 13, verse 22, we can say that a Holy Spirit-led man leaves a Holy Spirit inheritance for his children's children. But the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Because inheritance has nothing to do with cars and clothes and all these things that we should leave for our kids if, you know, we're blessed to do so. But inheritance, according to God, is something that is not impacted by this world. Which is why Jesus himself says, why do you store up your treasure here where things can rust? Store it up in heaven where nothing can touch your treasure. So a Holy Spirit-led man leaves a Holy Spirit inheritance for his children's children. But the wealth, the money, the pleasure, the phones, the gadgets, the stocks, all the things that we like of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. And being a father of three kids, especially, so Charlie, she's six now, but when she, I don't know, maybe like when she turned maybe four, me and my wife truly saw that, like, yeah, there's only so much we can do. And as a parent, it begins to click that, like, these children have a sin nature of their own. Like, despite all the good gifts I give her, I mean, clothes, house, shelter, food, spoil her, try to even bribe her to do good, despite all that stuff, she needs more than my good gifts. She needs this good thing. She needs the Holy Spirit. She needs something that I truly can't give her. She needs an inheritance from God. Because, once again, it is humbling to know that despite your best efforts, how much you whoop them, which you should, but how much you do, there's only so much that you can do. Because they have that same sin nature that's in you. And you know how much you've lied, cut up, sinned, and for some strange reason, you think that by just saying don't do that, they won't do that. But how many times does God say don't do that and we still do that? So once again, just being a father, I see this clearly that there is this gap between what I can give and what they need. So turn me to the book of Acts 10. Because God would not say that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children if it wasn't possible. God would not and does not set us up to fail. But the truth is that when he says something, there's a way to get to that thing. See, oftentimes we hear the word of God and we say, okay, you know what, let me try to kind of squeeze my way in and do my own thing. And, you know, and yeah, I'll end up in the same place, right? But you miss God in the process, because I think Pastor Lincoln once told me this, that it's not so much about the destination, but it's the journey. And when you do things God's way, he takes you through a journey where he grows you up, shows you things, holds your hand, corrects you, loves you, does all the things that a good father said that he would do. So in Acts 10, verse 1, we're going to read about a man named Cornelius. Verse 1, and it says this, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Cornelius was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms, tithes, offerings generously to the people and prayed to God always. Verse 3, and about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of the Lord coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. So Cornelius was just a normal man. Dare I say he was a wealthy man. He had enough money to spare. He had a good family, had all those good things. The scripture does not say that he was perfect, But the scripture does say that he pursued God. He pursued God with his prayers, with his giving, with how he treated people. He pursued God. It didn't say that he just came to church. It didn't say that he was in ministry. See, oftentimes we think that pursuing God is all these things that we do in church. But everything that was listed here had nothing to do with church. And I mean, if we're being real, it doesn't even say that he was a part of any temple. It just says that he was a devout man who feared God. And because of that, he gave generously to the people and he prayed to God always. So Cornelius, as we're going to see, his pursuit for God set the stage for the Holy Spirit to encounter his household. So as the story goes, the angel tells Cornelius that, hey, God has heard your prayers. He's seen your giving. He's going to send someone to pray and speak to your family. And that person, of course, is Peter. So Peter goes and is led by the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 44 of Acts 10, it says this. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So we see here that Cornelius, because of his pursuit, because of one man's pursuit, his whole family was filled with the Holy Spirit. Because one man simply said, I would take God at his word. See, it doesn't even say that he was saved. It just said that he feared God. I'm not even sure if he had a Bible. He just feared God. And he loved people. And he gave. And he was a devout man. He was consistent. He was consistent. Day in and day out, he showed up. Day in and day out, he feared God. Day in and day out, he gave. And at some point, an angel came and said, your prayers and your alms, your consistency in doing what God has called you to do has come up before God. See, sometimes we're just impatient. And I know this in myself because I've recently just been on this journey of, like, I truly want to encounter God. I'm going to share something, and maybe I'll say it like this. This is my hope. I don't want the first time that I see Jesus to be when I get to heaven. Because why can't I see him now? Right? But I know that we can be impatient. We can seek God one day and then we do something two days and we can come back and we miss him, right? You know, but the scripture says that those that wait on the Lord, like he will renew your strength. Like you will find if you seek. He will open if you knock, but we can be inconsistent. But we see here that Cornelius was consistent. It doesn't say that he was perfect. It doesn't say that he always got things right, but he was consistent. And because of his consistency, his children will now grow up in a home that the Holy Spirit was welcome. And they encountered the Holy Spirit. Many people were probably more wealthy than he was, but God chose him as the first family of the Gentiles to pour out his Spirit because he was consistently setting a stage, a home where the Holy Spirit could actually move. So parents, mothers, fathers, grandparents, uncles, aunts, do we do that? Do we set that stage? Do we set that home? Do we make our home a place where the Holy Spirit can actually move? Or are we just satisfied with, well, I took my kids to church, they said they learned something, and hey, they're good kids. See, being Nigerian, one of the things I learned early at a young age, and this is not a knock on my people, but I learned that in their eyes, Christian and culture, same thing. Be a good kid, be a Christian, same thing. Be a doctor, come to church, same thing. And that really made me understand why so many young Nigerians that I knew, once they got old enough, they left church because they didn't see this Holy Spirit life modeled. They didn't see it in their homes. They didn't know that God was more real than whatever they were studying at school. They didn't know that God is more pleased when you seek him over anything else, which is why I often tell my wife, like, I don't really care what my kids do. As long as they can hear the voice of God for themselves, I've done my job. I've done my job. So Cornelius was a man who, dare I say, set the bar very high. Because I often think about this, like, especially having three girls, I want my daughters to be so in the Lord that any man that comes to even try to talk to them, they're like, nah, I already can see through you. You know, like, you're not that. So Cornelius set the bar so high because just imagine a young man coming to speak to his daughters and they're like, My daddy was so faithful that God chose this family to bring, like, faith through. What are you doing? Right? So we see here that Cornelius was faithful and he set the atmosphere for God to encounter his family. Now turn with me to the book of Genesis 25. Genesis 25, verse 5. We're going to look at the father of our faith, Father Abraham. I always think about that song because I have kids. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had father. And it sounds good, but those sons were sin. Just think about it. Think about it. All right. Verse 5. It says this, and Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But now, if you give all that you have, that's all you have. There's no leftover. But it says this, but Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, and while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac his son to the country of the east. So Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, the son that was born from the Spirit. But Abraham gave gifts to those other sons that were born by the flesh. See, as parents, as uncles, fathers, grandparents, all that, there is a possibility of two inheritances that we can leave those that we love. We can give them good gifts or all that we have in Christ. So the question is, especially for my fathers, which inheritance are we leaving for our children? Are we leaving them good gifts like Abraham did to those other sons that were born from sin? Or are we leaving them all that we have? Can they truly say that my father, my mother, my grandparents served the Lord? See, I'm reminded of when Paul was talking to Timothy. He said, I remember the faith of your grandmother and your mother, and that same faith is in you. So his grandmother and his mother left him an inheritance of faith. They didn't just leave him money and all those things that we should do, but they left him something that could not be shaken by this world. Because the truth is this, one day your children will not need your good gifts. One day they'll have their own house, have their own car, have their own stuff. And your good gifts will expire. But they will never outgrow their need for God. They will never outgrow their need for the Holy Spirit. They will never outgrow their need to be led. Because as Romans 8:26 says, we have a weakness. No matter how rich you are, we have a weakness We have Hollywood is full of the most brightest, smartest, best looking people. They all have the same weakness that you and I have. They know not how to pray. They don't know how to approach God. They don't know how to do the things of the Spirit that we've been called to do. So we all have that same weakness. So give your children more than good gifts. Give them a house where the Holy Spirit is welcome in. Give them a house where they see prayer, forgiveness, consistency, love, sacrifice displayed. Give them a home where they learn that Jesus is the greatest inheritance. And it's okay for your kids to see that you're not perfect, because you're not. You know, I think that's one of the best lessons that you can show your child, is that, like, you're broken just like them. You know, it just makes things more even playing field, right? So, I don't know. My heart is just, can we just take maybe 5 minutes and just go to God in prayer and just cry out to Him? Because I know that, man, you know, I think my wife, she said it one time, like, you know, her heart was just so broken when she saw that sin nature in my daughter, because you see that there's nothing that we can really do. Yes, we can ground you and do all these things, but unless you encounter this same Holy Spirit that is in us, you will battle with this thing for the rest of your life and you will lose. So this morning, you know where your own household is. Even if you don't have kids, maybe you didn't have that father that passed anything like this down to you. But the truth is that you can be different. You can be that first person in your family line that passes down a true inheritance that will last. And maybe you have some unforgiveness because your father didn't do what he was supposed to do. And God is saying, it's time to let that go too. It's time to forgive. Because you cannot receive what God has if your hands are closed. So you know where you are. Let's just bow our heads and go to God and ask that His Holy Spirit begins to search our hearts. Search our hearts, Lord, Father, because as your scripture says, we have a weakness. There are things that we don't know. There are things that we have to be led by. Which is why you gave us the Holy Spirit, because He's the one that guides us into all truth. And there are truths that we would not know about our family, our children, unless you guide us. There is insight, there is wisdom into how to parent that we would not know unless you guide us. So Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves this morning. From fathers to mothers to grandparents and everything in between, we humble ourselves, Father. We say, Holy Spirit, we need your help. We need your help. As the song says, come, Holy Spirit, come, move, transform, revive, Lord, change us. For we cannot do without you. All we have without you is good gifts, and those gifts expire. Those gifts have a shelf life. Oh, but the good thing, the Holy Spirit, that's forever. That's eternal. And that's what our homes, our families, our children need. Father, once again, we humble ourselves. We know there is no one good besides you. And we know that because you are good, you only give good. You give the best, which is yourself. So we humble ourselves, Jesus, and we simply ask that you give us that good thing this morning, which is the Holy Spirit. If you desire the Holy Spirit this morning, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you feel like, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I don't know if I really have this thing. You can make that decision this morning. So, Father, if there be any this morning under the sound of my voice who doesn't know you, who has given their children good gifts, but they feel like I haven't given them that good thing, Father, we just say, have your way, Lord. Accept their cry, Father. Accept their cry, Lord. Father, they need you. They're crying out to you, Father. They want to know you. They want to know you as Lord, as Father. They want to know you as the one who gives the Holy Spirit. Father, once again, we just come before you. We honor you for being the giver of all things good. We know that there is no good without you, Lord. We thank you for being our Heavenly Father. And we thank you because all we have to do is ask. And you said that you will pour out your Spirit on all flesh. Once again, God, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen.
Amen, amen. Two great messages on pursuing Christ. And today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. But you know, there are a lot who grew up and they didn't have a father in their life. So Father's Day is not really a great day for them. But you know what? You do have a father in your life who is the greatest, who cares, who gives great gifts. And if we know him, we know just how wonderful he is. And not just gifts that I'm talking about, but it's knowing him and knowing that whatever you may go through, that he will provide and that he understands what you're going through. We might not have the patience, but if we just stick with it and wait on him, we'll have the greatest gift. And he is the greatest gift. He gave his life for us on the cross. So I just thank Pastor Ike for that message. Thank all of you for joining us this morning. Those of you in-house and those of you online, thank you for joining. I have just one announcement, and that is if you would please remember to support the ministry. It would help us a lot to get the word out all over. And for those of you online, you're welcome to give. We thank you for those that give, and we appreciate you so much. Now I'm going to say a prayer and dismiss us. So if you would please stand. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift that you've given us. You have given us eternal life. You have given us the Holy Spirit, that when we feel that we're alone, you're right there, God. You said you'll never leave us nor forsake us. All we have to do is just seek after you. And I thank you so much for that. I pray that both of the messages that was given here today, God, that they will not fall on deaf ears, and that we will go from there and try to really pursue you, Jesus, and what it is that you want us to do, and what it is that you are saying to us truly. I thank you for the offering that we're taking up today, God. I pray that you will just bless it tenfold. Bless those that gave, and those who really do have a desire to give, God. I just pray that you just bless them that they may be able to give. And I pray for traveling mercies on our way home, that you would just watch over us and guide us and protect us. For it is in Jesus' most precious and his holy name that I pray, God. Amen and amen. You're dismissed.